96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue to keep you updated on the violent incident happening right now in Fort Hood, Texas. We are now getting reports that a shooter involved in the incident that happened within the last 30 minutes or so is now dead. Earlier, we reported that there was an active shooter on the largest Army base in the United States. That's Fort Hood. At least one person was killed and eight others reported wounded. The Twitter feed and Facebook page at Fort Hood says that everyone on base should shelter in place. Again, you may remember Fort Hood was the site of a shooting in 2009 that left some 13 people dead. Again, we are getting reports at Fort Hood that the shooter involved in the incident has been killed. We will continue to keep you updated as more information becomes available. Now we move on to the Insight segment. Ward 4 Councilmember Muriel Bowser claimed victory in the D.C. primary last night.
We did it! So let me say thank you to the people of the District of Columbia.
She unseated embattled incumbent Vincent Gray. That's just one of the stories we're talking about tonight at the Reporters Roundtable. Also tonight, we're talking about the Relisha Rudd case and the Washington signing of wide receiver DeSean Jackson. We're sitting at the Reporters Roundtable. My guests are Keith Hairston with the Howard News Service, Edgar Brookins with the Afro-American Newspaper, and Aaron Gilchrist with NBC4. If you want to be part of this conversation, you can give me a call right now. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. That's 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876. 855-288-4876. You're certainly welcome to comment on my Facebook page at facebook.com/Harold T. Fisher or follow me on Twitter at HFisherWHUR. Gents, thanks for joining me. Let's get right to it. Keith, I'll start with you. Were you surprised at the outcome of the primary in the mayor's race last night?
I was a bit surprised, and I'll tell you why. The results in this primary mirror the results in several past mayoral races in D.C. Big difference is that this time you had essentially the predominantly black wards in the city voting for the incumbent, Vince Gray, and the predominantly white wards essentially voting for Muriel Bowser. And so even though the principals involved are both black politicians, it seems as though that there's still a racial divide in the city, even though lots of people like to talk about the fact that there is no longer a racial divide because of the changing demographics of the city. But I think if you looked at the results on a map, you see a clear divide.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, what do you think?
I was surprised at the distance between the two when the numbers came out. I think over the last couple of weeks we saw that Muriel Bowser was gaining on Vincent Gray, and a lot of the polls that publications were doing, the NBC4 poll that we did last week, showed the gap closing. And so to see that 12-point spread between the two of them was a little bit surprising to me. But I think particularly in the last few weeks, we started to see a real climb by Bowser, and that's how it turned out.
Mm-hmm. Edgar?
I would agree that wasn't that necessarily surprised that she won, but by the spread. Mm-hmm. I didn't think she could get that much of a spread between Gray based on what you were seeing, what you were hearing in the community, and based on the recent polls and so forth. So that was a surprise. So she was able to galvanize her folk. You know, it was a very low turnout mm-hmm. across the board, low turnout, but she was able to get her people out to the polls and get them voting that got her the win.
Okay, but did Muriel Bowser win last night or did Vincent Gray lose? Because on a previous Reporters Roundtable, particularly after Jeffrey Thompson went to court, I said on this program that my thoughts about this whole process were beginning to change. I was personally thinking that Vincent Gray still had a shot after Jeffrey Thompson went, and even though, as we know, Gray has still not been accused of anything, he certainly has not been, you know, indicted or anything like that. I felt that the tide was beginning to turn there.
Well, the polls started to narrow, as you mentioned, Aaron, about 3 weeks ago, coincides with the time that the U.S. attorney stood at a press conference and essentially said Vincent Gray is guilty of something. We just haven't charged him yet. Mm-hmm. You know, so Muriel Bowser got a big boost from that. I mean, U.S. attorneys hardly ever talk about their cases that are still under investigation in that way. So she got a big boost, and I don't think there's much of a coincidence that the gap between Bowser and Gray started to narrow very quickly after that press conference from the U.S. attorney.
And one of the interesting things, too, just as an aside, which maybe may just be as a bigger story or just as big, what's going on with the D.C. Board of Elections? I mean, my goodness, polls closed at 8 o'clock. We didn't get the first results coming out until about 10 o'clock. And then some 2 hours later, we finally got some 91% of the vote. There are some reports that are suggesting that there was poor training on the part of election workers, difficulty with voting machines, but it's like deja vu all over again. What's going on here, Edgar?
Yeah, it was clear that the Board of Election had not did their proper and adequate preparation, both with the new equipment that they were using, training the personnel who were at the precinct level, and so forth. So yeah, saw a repeat, and you have to wonder, you know, why did this continue to happen? And this is a bigger story, a bigger pitch in terms of other areas of government and the whole political process that are detached at the moment because folk are not putting their full effort into what they should be doing.
Yeah, I mean, we do this how often?
Yeah, and this was just such a small portion of the electorate. So, you know, you think about the general election in November, they've got to get it right before that rolls around. You have a lot more people trying to use that equipment and counting on trained election workers to be able to get them through the process.
Let me go to the phone lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Lisa, you're the first caller right now, the only caller from Washington, D.C. I even wonder why that is. We are talking about, you know, the mayor's seat. Lisa, what's on your mind?
Yes, I was a poll worker, and the voter turnout was poor in Ward 7. I'm not understanding why people are not taking this seriously. Ms. Bowser is funded by corporations, which she's going to owe them. Mayor Gray has done a wonderful job with this city. He has done some improvements. He has also helped people that are in need. This is serious, and people need to take this seriously. And we were outvoted by other wards who are now predominantly white. The turnout was exceptional with them, and on us, it was lackluster.
Okay, so why do you think that is, Lisa? Because you said we, talking about black folks, were outvoted. Perhaps black folks outvoted themselves by not coming to vote.
Yes, and I just think that it's just a lackluster. I don't agree with the mayor. He hasn't done this, but you need to do your research. Mayor Gray was never a political person. He had to pick his team. He didn't come with a team. Those people that have been accused or have been found in wrongdoing of stealing money, those people have been politically connected for a long time. And this is not anything new. They would have been doing, I believe that they found this out during Gray's administration, and they try to throw him under the bus. All you have to do is look at his record. And people just didn't. They just believe what is in the media, what they read, what is put out there, and not doing their own research. And people have to become more involved to select. Even if you don't win, if you didn't put in a vote, you can't say anything about the turnout.
Well, I agree with you about that. You know, you don't have a right to complain if you don't vote. Lisa, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. Need to take a break. When we come back, more of your phone calls. We're still talking about the primary election yesterday, Muriel Bowser unseating incumbent Vincent Gray. And my goodness, let's talk about the turnout or lack of turnout. Where was everyone? Other issues on deck, too. So stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the Reporters Roundtable talking about the top stories of the week with Keith Harrison, with the Howard News Service, Edgar Brookins with the Afro-American Newspaper, and Aaron Gilchrist with NBC4. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Outside of the D.C. calling area, 855-288-4876, 855-288-4876. Angela, calling from Washington, D.C., from Southeast. What's on your mind?
Hello, Herb. Hello to the panel. I have to make a confession.
Go ahead.
I was one of those people who never voted in the primary. I always waited for the big, you know, the big deal to come out. For like the last 10 years, I've been doing the primaries and showing up for everything because I realized after a while that my vote didn't really count. I couldn't complain if I didn't vote in the primary and I just waited for the big elections to come through. I would be upset about who the candidates were that won the primary, but then who was I to complain? And I think part of the reason why it took me so long to get on board with coming to the primary is because it was always like an unknown fact that whoever the Democratic person was going to win it anyway.
You know, Aaron, you know, Angela, Aaron just said that offline. You guys are probably related. So.
Well, I do watch Aaron all the time.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And I think a lot of people had that similar attitude. I mean, 22% of registered voters showed up for this primary election. And so I think a big challenge for Muriel Bowser and David Catania when they start looking at the general election is figuring out how to make sure that people show up. It's always, you know, that's whenever we have one of these sort of what becomes a big election, that's the big challenge for candidates. How do you make sure that people feel like it's important enough to actually go to the polls?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would agree. And two, you know, in my moving around the city, there was just no energy. I mean, you just didn't feel like there was an election going on. And the one little indicator that I look at, when I drive around, I don't see no signs. You know, most of them got signs everywhere, plastered everywhere, and I just didn't see the signs. And I'm saying, what is going on here? There's just no enthusiasm for this election, for whatever the reasons may be.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Angela. Denise calling from Southeast Washington. Denise, what's on your mind?
So my issue is I'm old school. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And I just want to hear from the panelists what their position is about Mayor Gray's accomplishments, because I find it hard that there are so many people that fell around him and he not know. And for that reason, I did not support him in this election.
Go ahead real quick, Keith, and we'll pick it up on the other side quickly. What's on your mind? What do you think?
I think he would have done himself served himself better if he had spoken up sooner in denying the allegations. I think, you know, I know he said he did it on advice of his legal counsel, but to have that hanging over his head as long as he did, and then to have the U.S. attorney make the accusations, essentially saying he did these things, and then he came out pretty strong. I think it was just too late at that time.
If you're on the phone, that includes you, Denise, and Dixon from Washington, D.C., Reed from Washington, Mike and Bryant, stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. We will also talk about some other issues, including the Relisha Rudd case and DeSean Jackson coming to Washington to play football. So stay on the line. I will get to your calls. Angela Stribling is in for Jeff Brown with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Stay with us. More of the Reporters Roundtable on Sirius XM Channel 141.